Review, the Phil Steele magazine, over 350 pages, stats, trends, angles, returning starters, Phil's forecast, and much, much more. And he's on the line with us right now, so we get a condensed version this morning. Phil, welcome back to the show. It's the first time we've had you on twice, and that's not nearly enough. How you doing?
Hey, I am doing great. How about yourself today?
We're doing wonderful. How much, when you look at teams predicting and who's going to do this and who's going to do that, in terms of returning experience, how does that weigh into it as far as putting a team ahead of another, as far as players that have been there and done that?
Yeah, I think it's a big factor. And, you know, I went through the experience chart the last couple of years and looked, and it seems like teams that are in the top 20 of the most experience returning generally have definitely improved records the next year. And the teams at the bottom of the chart, you know, the bottom 20, 25 teams in terms of experience, we'll see a drop-off. And I've seen it through the years. Now, it's not the only factor used. You know, schedule's important, turnovers equals turnaround, things like that. But it is a big factor each season.
So that being said, which team in the SEC has the most returning experience?
Take a quick glance in. I think right at the top, LSU is one team that jumps out at me in the fact that last year they were one of the least experienced teams in the SEC, and this year they're one of the most experienced teams. They come in number 19 in the country overall. Tennessee's another team that should be on the uptick. They're number 21 on my experience chart this year. And then at number 30 is South Carolina. Unfortunately for South Carolina, they're at the top of my schedule chart. They play the toughest schedule in the country. But an interesting one is Georgia. You know, I mentioned Georgia's probably a better team than they were last year. They're up there at number 36. So those are the top four teams experience-wise in the SEC.
Is Alabama, like, near the end of that list?
You know, they're number 86, which overall for Alabama isn't too bad, considering that every year they lose a lot of players to the NFL draft. So generally, Alabama is towards the bottom of the SEC. They're almost middle of the pack this year.
And I look at LSU. You mentioned LSU, and they usually lose a lot to the NFL also. And as you have them, they're like 19th.
Yeah, which is highly unusual. Last year, they were very near the bottom. In fact, they surprised me last year because they were one of the teams that sort of went against the grain, getting the double-digit wins despite being so inexperienced. Now, this year, they've got about 71% of their Lettermen returning, 83% of the offensive yards, 72% of the tackles, and they have 76 career offensive line starts returning. So they're high in almost every single category across the board.
Not to get into any kind of discussion or argument about this when you discuss toughest schedules, but obviously you mentioned South Carolina. But what criteria, because we look at Auburn, and I think Auburn, to me, on paper, has a brutal schedule. No home games in October, going to Florida and LSU, opening up with Oregon. Then you got Alabama and Georgia. And I'm not saying you're right. We won't know who's right or wrong until the end of the year. But how would South Carolina, let's say, have a tougher schedule than Auburn?
Well, I've got South Carolina as my number one toughest schedule. I've got Auburn as my number two toughest schedule. And I think the determining factor might just be one of the non-conference games. You look at the fact that Auburn this year has to play Alabama, Georgia. Meanwhile, South Carolina has to play Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson. So they play the top three teams in the country, whereas Auburn doesn't have to play Clemson. They play Oregon in the non-conference slate. So it was very close between the two teams. But South Carolina playing the top three teams in the country, basically all on the same schedule, put them at one, and Auburn a very close number two.
To Lee's point, though, Phil, how much of where they play certain games, like as far as on the road or at home, how much of that does that factor into your strength of schedule formula, or does it?
No, it definitely does. Yeah, the home field edge is factored into it. You saw nine sets of things. Auburn getting Oregon at a neutral site was a plus for them in Arlington. But like I said, it comes up the second toughest schedule in the country. There's 130 teams out there. So Auburn's schedule, I rate tougher than 128 of them.
Talking with Phil Steele. Phil Steele's publication is out there. Phil, how can people get a hold of the magazine?
It's out there at the Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Books A Million, CVS, Target, Walgreens, and Publix. 352 pages, jam-packed with information.
And you can also go online to philsteele.com. That's S-T-E-E-L-E.com. And when you go there, you can order the magazine, get the hard copy, or download it to your iPad or your iPhone, your Android device, your Kindle, or even your own computer.
I think one of the very few things that Mark and I agree on, we'd love to see Oklahoma play Alabama in one of the semifinal games, okay? Now, most of us who, you know, talk sports on this station feel that Alabama's going to have a very successful season and make it to the Final Four. What are the chances for Oklahoma?
Oklahoma's got a very good chance. In fact, I'll tell you, going through the process of the magazine, my national cover has my top four teams for the magazine, for the ones I have to make the playoff. So they come in my office about 3 weeks before the magazine is due and said, Phil, we got to make a decision on the cover. I said, I don't have my fourth team yet. It's either Oklahoma or Georgia. Next week they come back in. Phil, we got to give a decision on the cover. Well, it's either Oklahoma or Georgia. And right at the last minute, I finally decided to go with Georgia as my number four team. A little more talent than Oklahoma, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But that's how close Oklahoma was. And when you look at Oklahoma's schedule this year, they'll be favored in all 12 games, plus probably the Big 12 title game. So as long as their offensive line comes together, they only have one returning starter this year, and as long as the defense is improved, they have a great shot of making the playoff this year.
Would you be surprised, or do you expect Jalen Hurts to be up in New York for the Heisman Trophy presentation?
You know, last year over the summer, I was so confident making this statement. I said, you know, I like Kyler Murray, but let's face it, he's not going to match Baker Mayfield's stats. Baker Mayfield won the Heisman. They had a remarkable season. And then Lincoln Riley went and made me a liar because Kyler Murray probably surpassed Baker Mayfield's stats from the previous year. So Jalen Hurts is the most experienced of these three transfer quarterbacks that Riley's had to work with. He's a quarterback whisperer. As long as that offensive line comes around, I would think he has a great shot to get to New York for the Heisman.
Phil, I don't know if you find this in the magazine, but this is more of an opinion question. Is college football better off having two alphas, Alabama, Clemson, or do you think college football would be more diversified and probably, let's say, having more teams that you think would have a chance to win it all?
I think we'd be better off with more teams doing radio shows across the country like I do. I know that the interest in college football will be up a lot higher if it wasn't just an automatic Alabama-Clemson. But, you know, the good news is college football, every week of the regular season is important. Look at last year. Clemson hosted Syracuse as a four-touchdown favorite, and they were down by two scores in the fourth quarter, needed their third-string quarterback to complete a fourth and 10 pass to keep the final drive alive. Had they lost that game, they would have tied Syracuse in the standings and not even gone to the ACC title game. So Clemson was that close to potentially missing the playoff last year.
Phil Steele, our guest here on WNSP, is staying in the Big 12. You're talking about Oklahoma. What about Texas? At the end of last year, there was this, you know, there was this growing theme that Texas was back. Is Texas back based on the numbers you dove into?
You know, they're getting close, but this year's team's rather inexperienced. They only have eight returning starters coming back. It was Sam Ellinger after the bowl game, their quarterback, that echoed the Texas is back theme. I like the talent that Tom Herman's bringing in. I think this team is probably his most talented, despite the fact having just eight returning starters. When you look at that defense, there's good guys, plenty of good players there. If they can play better than their experience level, I think they could be a threat to Texas. And what the heck, or to Oklahoma. And they knocked off Oklahoma in the regular season last year, 48-45.
All right, Phil, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. You can follow Phil Steele, by the way, on Twitter, at PhilSteele042. Roundup hour number two, we continue our conversation with Phil Steele.
And who knows better to answer these questions about college football? Again, his magazine, over 350 pages, everything you've ever wanted to know. I want to know, Phil, who's going to quarterback Auburn in game one against Oregon? Can you answer that for me?
You know, I'm going to go with Joey Gatewood. You know, watch the spring very intently. I think Gatewood's a perfect fit for the system. You're looking at a big guy that can run and throw. I think he's the perfect fit for the Gus Malzahn system. I understand, you know, there's good competition. Bo Nix is a guy that throws the ball well, but I think Gatewood's got the best grasp of the system being a redshirt frosh. Love the size and love both the running and passing ability.
Phil, along those lines, somebody, one of our listeners wanted to know, do you rank the fastest players? And if so, where would you have Schwartz and Shivers from Auburn?
Well, I think you have to have Schwartz number one, I would believe, in the country. get a silver medal like he did in the 100 meters of the World Championships. That's pretty fast. So I'd have him number one.